Let's try to finish off if we can. We've been doing this little section on Labadkas through Mem on Inyanei Mechah, and so far we've gone through most of the topics. The last thing that we discussed last time was the question of whether you need witnesses, whether you need Edim for the Mechah or not. So again, just to get back to the to the context, so the Gemara Lamed Tesa Ben Aleph had recorded that the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, there's four lines from the bottom, the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, and Amalahu Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Mecha Bekama. He bumped into two students of Rabbi Yochanan, and he asked them, do you have any information about Rabbi Yochanan's view, whether Mecha needs two witnesses, whether Mecha needs an audience of two, I should say, or not? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Chiya bar Avraham Rabbi Yochanan Mecha Bifnei Shayim and Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Yochanan Mecha Bifnei Shosha. He asked two Talmidim and he got two different answers. One said that his information was that Rabbi Yochanan required two, and the other one said he required three. And then the Gemara goes on to suggest three explanations. What is this argument all about? This argument, whether or not you can have an audience of two or you need an audience of three, what is that argument all about? So originally the Gemara said that it's connected to the issue of Lashon Hara, Kol Milsad Misamar Biapik Lasa Ispe or Leispe Mishum Lishna Bisha, whether anything which is public knowledge in the public domain, in other words, which for which there is no longer Lashon Hara, is that determined by two or three? That's the first day of the Gemara. Then on Lamed Tesam Beis, the Gemara has a second day. The Gemara says, there's three lines down. The Kulamba Yisla Duraba Baravuna. The Hacha Miflagi. Everybody holds the Karava Baravuna that when it comes to Lashon Hara or Gilui Milsa, that you require three. But the argument is about something else. Mandamar Bifnei Shnayim, Kasavar Mechal Shalom Bifanav Lo Hava Mecha. Mandamar Bifnei Gimel, Kasavar Mechal Shalom Bifanav Hava Mecha. This is the Girsa that we have, that almost all the Rishonim have, which makes a lot of sense, so we'll stick with this one for the moment. The other one is a little more intriguing, but will get us a little bit too far afield. So basically the argument is as follows. We know already that there's a discussion whether Mecha Shalom Bifanav Hava or Lo Hava Mecha, whether or not the Mecha has to be in the presence confronting the machzik or not. So if you think that the mecha has to be personal, it has to be in the presence of the machzik, so then there's no requirement of three. Two is going to be sufficient. Because the purpose of the three, according to this understanding, is gilui milsa, pirsum. The requirement of pirsum is necessary when you're trying to accomplish this through a long distance, right, indirectly. But where there's a requirement of direct mecha, so then there is no issue of three, and two is going to be sufficient. That's the second day of the Gemara. And the third day of the Gemara says, no, there's a Iba Yisema, de Kulama, mecha shalom, upon of Hava mecha. Everybody agrees, long distance mecha is sufficient. Hakab hakamitlagi, mandamar bifnei shnayim, sover sadu sabinan, mandamar bifnei gimok, sover gilui mil sabinan. That really the argument is whether or not you need sadusa, which means edim, or you need three, gilui milsa. Okay, so now the question is how to understand that argument. So as we discussed several times already, the Rashbam and Tosas Rid seem to say that the question whether you need edus or gilui milsa is itself a question whether it's important that the machzik definitely hear about the mecha, or is it important only that the marakama, right, know that the machzik has the potential to hear about the mecha? That he registers a legal protest, he puts his reputation on the line, because there's a very reasonable chance that his accusation is going to be heard by the machzik, and if it's a false accusation, he will be proven to be a liar. And that is sufficient. So that's the argument two or three. And we pointed out that the Rambam seems not to interpret the Gemara that way, because the Rambam, like everyone else, paskins that all you need is two. And yet the Rambam paskins that in principle the machzik needs to hear of the mecha. Okay. So last thing we discussed was one other issue. The Gemara here uses the phrase sadusa. And sadusa means edim. The Gemara says if you need gimel, that's giluye milsa. If you need two, it's sadusa. Now, Guluya Milsa and Sahadusa are really two very different types of ideas. If the Gemara was talking about Sahadusa for two, then one might have thought that the requirement of three was a requirement of Beis Din. Do you need Edim or do you need Beis Din? And that indeed is the formulation that we find, as we discussed last week, in the Yerushalmi. And that would imply a certain level of formality for this Mecha, that it be in the presence of a Beis Din, that, you know, would indicate that that Mecha isn't just some pragmatic step to reflect that there's no Shtikas Marakama, but that it's lodging of a formal complaint, that it's a formidable task to try to overturn a chazaka. And to do so, you need as much formal legal help as you can muster, and that's why the presence of a Beis Din would be necessary. That seems to be the view of the Rishon. But since the Bavli has Geluyei Milsa, that doesn't sound like a Beis Din at all. That sounds like a very pragmatic idea, and certainly the Rashbam and Tosfos Rid understood it that way, that it has to do with the level of Pirsum. So then what are we to make if the Gilui Milsa isn't about formality or about the stature of the individuals? It's the simply the quantity and the efficiency of their, you know, being able to initiate an apparatus of Chavar Chavar Islay. So what is the significance of the term Sadusa Edim when it comes to the two? You might say, Lav Dafka, it's just a way of saying two. You need three, you need two. Certainly the way the Rashbam and Tosfos Rid read the Gemara, but the question is, you know, do you need the Vadai, you know, Shomea HaMachzik of three, or the Efshar Sheyishma HaMachzik of two? They don't say anything about actually performing the function of Edus. On the other hand, Tosfos relates to it a little bit by saying, the Ilav Bishum Sadusa, Havasagi Bechad, the Chavra Chavra Islay. Tosfos says that actually there's an element of Sadusa, of Edus here. Because if it weren't for the Edus, why two? Why wouldn't it even be enough to have one? In other words, Tosfos is assuming that for the purposes of efficiency, the apparatus of Chavra Chavra, according to this Manda Amar, there's no difference between two and one. There's a difference between three on one side versus two or one, but there's no difference between two and one. We'll see in a moment that the Rajva disagrees. But since Tosfos thinks that that's true, that Ilav Mishum Sadusa V'Sagi Bechad T'Chavra Chavra Chislei, right? Afa Bisha Loshon Hara Ein Nishma, even though Loshon Hara requires at least two, Hainu Lefisha Malimin Osum Ibnei Adam, because that's something usually you don't want people to hear about. But here you do want the Machzik to hear about it, so he can protect himself. So basically, Tosfos is already alluding to the idea of Edus. Now, what does Tosfos mean by it? So the Pashtus, Tosfos means only Edus Labira Davar, which means that, let's say, the Mecha took place before. Doesn't have to, but let's say it did. In other words, the Marakama confronts the Machzik. He says, I'm taking you to court, you're trespassing in my land. And let's say there are no witnesses there. But the Machzik is an honest man, and Odos Baldin is Canadian dummy. He admits that he received a warning from the Marakama. Does he have to hold on to his shtar for another 3 years after that Mecha, or not? Or, let's say, not quite as radical, the Mecha takes place in the presence of a Eid Echad, but not Shnayim Edim. Right? So, again, if he wants to lie about it, he could. But if he's an honest man, he'll admit that there was a Mecha Bifnei Eid Echad. Is that sufficient? Or do we really require Shnayim? And if we do require Shnayim, and it's more than simply Eid Eid Birur, then we don't apply Odas Pavim Kemedim Dami. Why? So the most radical thing to say is what we, I think, mentioned last week in the name of the Ravid. The Ravid in the continuation of the Gemara, when the Gemara says on the bottom of the page, the last line, Amar Ravam Rav Nachman Mecha Bifnei Shnayim Ein Tzarech Lomar Ksovu. Moda Bifnei Shnayim Ein Tzarech Lomar Ksovu. It's on Mem Amar Aleph now. Hoda Bifnei Shnayim Tzarech Lomar Ksovu. Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim Ein Tzarech Lomar Ksovu. The Kiyum Shtaris Begimel, etc. So the Ravid and that Gemara quotes the Gaonim, who say that there's a requirement in all these cases, or seemingly in all these cases, certainly in Kenyan, the Miri understands the Ravid to be talking about all the cases, there's a requirement of Edekiyum. Edekiyum means that even if there's Odas Bavin Kemedim Dami, even if everybody's honest, and let's say there's a Kenyan Sudar, and it's, you know, Beinol Levein Atzmo, there aren't two witnesses. Right? So, but the fellow admits that there was a Kenyan Suda. So, can he write a Shtar? Is the Kenyan Chal? In other words, are the Edim required only to be Mavarer, Le'ibri Sahadi El Le'Shakri, or is the presence of witnesses a sine qua non, a prerequisite of the legal change effected by the Kenyan? In order for Kenyan to be Chal, to be defined as a Kenyan, Kenyan Sudar, it requires Shnayim Edim. So according to the Raavad, if we end up saying Mecha, Kenyan, Moda, all Hoda, all require Shnayim as Edim Kiyum, so then we're saying an amazing thing. We're really saying that Mecha, right, is a formal legal action, right, which requires Edim Kiyum. That's quite an impressive shita. Anything in between saying Edim Kiyum and saying the normal Lo Ibri Sahadi El Shakri Hodah Spalvin Kemedim Dami? So that's where we get to the Rajba and the Ramban. So we made allusion to it last week, or we started with it. I want to elaborate a little more. The Rajba is a tshuva in which he says the following. Again, our sheets, Chemet Beis Simen Tzadi. He was asked the question whether or not the two witnesses that are discussed in the Gemara are necessarily there simultaneously, the Vasachas, or you can have what we call Edus Bezeach Arzeh, Edus Miuchedes. So the Rajba, Mecha Bifnei Echad, is on page 2. Sha'alta, Mecha Bifnei Echad Einu Klum. Let's start off with the assumption, says the Rajba, that a Mecha, which is in the presence of a single aid, is nothing. But Bifnei Shnayim Zeach Arzeh Toch Gimel Ma'u Sheit Sarf. Let's say it's in the presence of one witness, and then repeated in the presence of another witness, all within the 3-year period. What happens then? Can the two, each of whom experienced the mecha bezeh achar zeh, one after the other, can they combine forces to be considered two edim and a proper mecha, or not?
This is a dual mecha that takes place in 2 years.
Correct. Correct. What we call either Hodah Achar Hodah, Havah Achar Havah, the equivalent of that idea. Two different times. Yeah. There are two types of Edus Miuchedes in the Halacha. One is Echad Ra Michalon Zeh, Echad Ra Michalon Zeh, which can be the same time, but two people have, you know, are not together, they're not physically connected when they see the event. And then there's a situation which is called either Hodah Achar Hodah or even Havah Achar Havah, which is also Edus Miuchedes, a more extreme form of Edus Miuchedes, where it doesn't take place. It's two different, tziruf of two different actions. Yeah. Well, Hodah Hardah is not two different transactions, and this is also not really two different transactions. It's Halvah Haravah is two different Halvahs. Let's say I see A, I don't want to get too deeply involved in this right now, but let's say A lends money to B. $100, and it's witnessed by one aid. And then the next day, A lends another $100 to B. It's a different transaction, a different halva. He really owes him $200. But there's only one aid on each $100. But if you put the two together, they both agree that he at least owes him $100. That's called halva achar halva. We pass in like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, who says that even if it's two different transactions, halva achar halva, as long as you can combine them into a common chiyuv, that would be chayv. Here it's not exactly that. This is more comparable to what we call Hodah Achar Hodah, which means I borrowed $100 from you, right? And I'm Modeh in front of the one witness. And then 10 hours later, I'm Modeh about the same transaction in front of another witness. That's not Hodah Achar Hodah, that's Hodah Achar Hodah. Hodah Achar Hodah is somewhere in between Hodah Achar Hodah and, you know, Echad Ra Michalon Zeh, the Echad Ra Michalon Acher. I would say there are three levels of Edus Miuchedes. Anyways.
When does a 3-year clock start running?
Ah, it's a good question. So let's assume that if they're basically at the same time, so then, you know, then it's not going to be an issue if it's like the same day. But probably you can't have the clock running until you have both. In other words, I would assume that if, let's say it was a discrepancy of time, I've never seen anybody ask this question. I think it bothered me. I was wondering about it myself. Let's say, in year one, the Mekah was made Bifnei Echad, And then in year two, the Mechal was made b'fnei Acher.
Right.
So, you know, how, where do you stop the clock? From year one or from year two? I think it's a very good question. As far as I know, no one talks about it. Maybe some poskim later poskim say about it. Sorry? It'll be year two. That's what I was suggesting a second ago. But I don't know whether you couldn't make a counter-argument. I think it's a really interesting question. Okay.
And the second one, why does it have to be Tov Gimel?
Oh, they all have to be Tov Gimel. Because if 3 years pass without a legitimate Mecha, then the Chazaka is...
For Tov Gimel, right?
For the Chazaka.
Yeah. That actually answers the question, because if you have one Mecha in year Gimel and the other one at the beginning of year four, you don't have a legitimate Mecha.
No, that's for sure. Yeah. The only question we're asking about is, right, let's say they're both within three, so are you going to say, oh, you know, the Mecha, that reinforces the first Mecha, it starts from year one, and then assuming you need every 3 years, which we'll get to soon, then, you know, you better do something within 4 years, or do you start from the second one? It ends up being a chumrah that, you know, if you, you know, then you have 5 years. So it's a very interesting question. Again, I personally have wondered about it. I looked a little bit. I didn't see anybody who talks about it. But I think it's a very interesting question. Anyways, the Rajmo was asked the question, given the background of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Hodah Achar Hodah, certainly, that you can combine, in Dine Mamonos, you can combine one and one. You can't do this in Dine Nefashos, by the way. If somebody sees, A, murder, you know, one person in the morning, and then, you know, the next day, or in the afternoon, he sees him murder somebody else, you know, so you're not going to say, oh, they could be mitzdarit. It is mechedes doesn't work in Dine Nefashos. Whether it works in Ishus is a question. But not for now. Good. Raj was asked, Ma'u Sheid Starfu. So the answer is very intriguing. He answers it on two levels. First, he answers it on the level of Chaber Chaber Yisle. And he says, Tshuva, Ein Eid Echad B'Makal B'Lo Klum, against Tosas. Remember, Tosas said, for the purpose of the apparatus of Chaber Chaber, even one would work. The Rajma says, no. You need at least two for Chaber Chaber. Chada, Kaimel under Mekal Shalom B'Fanav Ha B'Makal, B'Hilkak Gili Milsa K'tzas, Ki Gili Milsa D'Sadusa B'Inan. Very big kiddush. Because as we said before, one might have thought that Gili Milsa means piercing. But the one Domar says, Sadusa is talking about the quality of the Eidos, Linya as Eidos. The Rajma says, no. Even he thinks you need Gili Milsa, just not as much as the Gimel. So you need Gili Milsa Shal Shnai. Aval b'fnei echad leka kala, v'lo megala milsa klal, v'lo mizdar idich b'shtare. You can't expect the other guy to hold on to his star, because it's not enough of a piercing. Which makes it seem like the Sadusa Be'inan has nothing to do with Gili Milsa. Rajma says we just have to reread the Gemara a little more liberally, it's a good word. Mar Savar Afagav the Machi Shalom Bafanav Ki Machi Ba'anfe Tre Dika Sadusa the Besad the Ba'anfe Macha Sagi the Inu Mafku Kala Ktas the Chaber Chaber Hisle. One of them holds that you can get your Gili Milsa by means of initiating the call with two and then being carried forward by others. Mar Savar Kivin Shalom Bafanav Ava Macha Milsa the Mefarsim Atuva Bina. You need more Pirsum Bein Pakas Migimel. Again, it's a mid, you know, mandamar gimel nishma lemandamar base. One could have read the Gemara. Well, we know that Tosas does read the Gemara differently, but that's an interesting argument between the Rajba and Tosas. Then Tosas adds another chiddush. Once that's true, you should know that from the kala point of view, let's say you had three edim. Right? Even the Mandamar says Shnayim would not allow three if it's Echad, Echad, Echad to work. That's Tosas's, that's the Rajba's Chiddush. The Ode, a second point, says the Rajba, and now he moves back into the quality of Mecha, the Eidos issue. Apila Mandamar Mecha, Shalom upon of Hava Mecha, Kol Shalom Mecha, Apila B'Fnei Shnayim Eina Mecha. You need two for another reason. Even if you thought that the kol was satisfied by one or two, you still need the two for another reason. The Meimar Amar Machzik Kim Shalomacha Ela Bifnei Echad Vav Bedafka Ka'amar Tichucha B'almahu V'lo Mizdar B'shtarei. This is the Chiddush. Now this is not exactly an Ekiyum. It's something else. You need Edim, real Edim. You need Edikium, the equivalent of Edikium, but not because of Edikium, but because here there's an additional factor. The Edim aren't here just to be Mabarer, what the Marakama did. They're also part of impressing upon the Machzik that he has a serious challenge and that he better hold on to his Shtar. So here there's an intangible, and that is the perception of the Machzik. If the Machzik doesn't take this challenge seriously, right, then the fact that he no longer has a Shtar is not damaging. So we have to read the mind of the Machzik in addition to assessing the activity or the behavior of the Marakama. And that's where an action of Bezeach HaZeh comes up short.
Why would Mausik not treat one person seriously?
He thinks, listen, if you wanted to make a real Macha, you would gather together two people. You wouldn't rely on Bezeach HaZeh.
I mean, that seems to be rather arbitrary.
Well, I don't know if it's arbitrary. I mean, no, it's not a question of numbers. It's a question of Shnayim as opposed to Bezeach HaZeh. Right? At one time, normally people are looking for witnesses. The classic case of Edim is two Edim. Bezeach HaZeh is a pula, kind of. So he says, listen, if he was serious, he'd be more strict about the quality of Edim that he brings. Now, I think another point is, I think that's perfectly logical, but I do think that there's a point to make here, and that is, so this debate then between, or this ha'ara of the Rajma, we'll soon see the Ramban as well, is it significant or is this a practical, is this a practical factor? I think it is very significant in that, remember that, me'achorei all of this discussion, implicit is still the question, who is in a stronger position and who has the burden of proof to establish, that their behavior, their conduct is consistent with their claim. So I think the point is as follows. If we really felt that the Marakama was in the strongest position and that the Machzik is in a defensive position, then his argument, it's true there was a Macha, but I thought it was a chucho tula because it wasn't done in the most orthodox way. It's a very weak argument. He's in a very tenuous position, and therefore he has to be extremely cautious. But if we turn things around and we say, no, the Machzik is in a strong position, he has a chazaka, right? The Marakama is barely holding on, and the Machzik has to make some terrible mistake, some reisa, in order for the Marakama's position to be justified. If we take that view, then it doesn't take much for the Machzik to be able to say, listen, he's behaving somewhat suspiciously, I don't have to take it seriously. He is in a stronger position. The same idea, we'll soon see, may apply to the Ramban. Before we get to the Ramban, let me just mention another comment. If you look at the Nebuka Yosef, those of you who have the Shas Gemara, on Chafavit Beis in the Dafi Harif, he quotes the Ra'ah, who explicitly disagrees with this Tshuva Sarajva. He doesn't quote the Tshuva Sarajva. Yeah.
So shouldn't that put a fear in it? It could be a second one.
What
makes you think there was only...
Well, the Rashi was saying more. The Rashi was saying even if he heard from each one, he heard from both, but separately, even then he'll say, I don't take it seriously because it's an unorthodox mecha. That's why I think it's a big kiddush. The Rashi was saying more than that. He's saying he heard from both of them, but he heard not from them as a unit, he heard from each of them as an individual. Even that's not serious. But the Ra'ah disagrees. Look at the Ra'ah on the back in the Mukha Yosef. A little more than halfway down the page in the Mukha Yosef on the right side. Uba Mukha Nami Kimu De Edesu Chasav HaRa'ah De Kimu Shemicha Bifnei Zeh Bechazar Micha Bifnei Zeh Micha Aso Micha'ah Ve Micha Bo Bifanav U Bifnei Acher Kasim Ramban, the Lav Machahi, Shiachalam Lamitok Shulamachisa, Elabifne Echad, Bayisa Yachalachbar, Lomis Arti Bishar. We'll read Ramban inside in just a second. But clearly, the first thing that the Ra'ah does is he rejects the Shita of the Rajba. According to the Ra'ah, if it's two Edim, even if they are Zeachar Zeh, nonetheless, that is a proper Machah. So, number one, Tosus disagrees with the Rajba on the Kol side of things, and the Ra'ah disagrees with the Rajba on the Mekah side of things. But it's a fascinating argument. Now let's turn our attention to the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't discuss Zeachar Zeh, but he does discuss Hodas Baldin, Kenedim Dami, and the presence simply of an Eid Echad. So the Ramban says, again this is on page 2, the piece before the Rajba, Mekah Bifnei Shnayim. Ramban says, Mesupakani, b'mechah, b'fanav, u'bifnei, acher, im'mechahi. Let's say the mechah takes place in the presence of the machzik, and the only people who are in the room are the marakama and a single aid. Truth is, he could have asked this question even without the single aid. It's a chiddush with the single aid. Kishema, and here the Ramban gives three possibilities. Kishema yachal zelomar ma'achar shalom machisa b'yela b'fnei rechad v'ayisi yachal lachbar lo izdari b'shtari amina ilo moshkach nashtari yachal ani lachbar b'mecha'ah. So Ramban says, well, what would be the reasoning, right, if the guy admits that there was a mecha'ah b'fanam, even if there weren't shnayim, what would be the reasoning that there would be a problem? After all, we'd say Hodas Baldin Kenedim Dami and Dinei Maminus Lo Ibrisa Adi El Shakri. The only reason you need witnesses in Dinei Maminus is for verifying what took place. So what should be the problem? Because Choshe Mishpat, it's not it's not Hilchos Ishus. So the Ramban says, because the guy will say the following. Again, like the Rajma, the idea is the perception of the Machzik plays a role here. So here the Machzik says, listen, I have an ace in the hole. Right? If I lose my shtar, right, I can always lie about it, about the mechah. I can always say there never was a mechah. I just said this is an Eid Echad. Eid Echad is not mechayit. He's not even mechayit mishvua in this case, because it's karka. So, since I have the ability of odos baldin kemedim dami, therefore, I don't have to be so careful about my shtaros, because I know I have a safety net. Now, this is a very strange and very interesting suggestion of the Ramban. The guy can use lying as a safety net. Well, we're not saying that he can, we're saying that he might. Right? That's strange. But we should remember this, we should remember to keep this within perspective. And that is, who's the honest man in this case? What?
We don't know,
but I'm saying from the Machzik's point of view. I mean, the Machzik is claiming that he bought this karka, and that the Marakama is a liar who is falsely accusing him of stealing it. So if he has to defend himself by having the ability, the safety net, of saying, you never were mocha, in order to prevent the Marakama from getting away with a bigger lie, namely stealing back his karka, right? That, I don't know what that's just. I think it's an interesting question, but at least it provides perspective.
Two can play the game,
and he is just defending his property, right? Which is being, attacked, in an illegal way. So that's no, it's not a Nigu. We'll get to Nigu in a second. Nigu, it would be. We'll get to the third point of the Ramban is going to be Nigu. Here we're saying he just says. Lo is darti bishtari. I didn't hold on to my shtar because I knew that even if he was going to continue with this false accusation, I always had another way out, and that's why I didn't hold on to my shtar. The Migu, we'll get to the Migu in just a second. The second view doesn't rely on lying; it just says more like the Rajba. The Ode, Hayisi Sabur Shalot Titveni Bedin, Ava Bishamarta Kain. You came to me and you came with an Eid Echad, and you told me that you're calling your lawyer. And I didn't take you seriously, and that's why I didn't hold on to my shtar. Why didn't I take you seriously? Because you only came to me with an Eid Echad. If you were serious, but this is not the same as what we said a second ago. What we said a second ago is, I'm not holding on to my shtar. I don't feel the need to hold on to my shtar because I can lie. Now we're saying, I didn't believe to begin with that you were going to go, you were going to follow through in court, because when you came at me with only a single aid, it was hard for me to take it seriously. Then the Ramban says, Chazarti v'ichrati b'mechosh enaklom. After thinking about this question, says the Ramban, I've come to the conclusion that actually this is the halacha, namely that Eid Echad or Hodas Baldin is not going to work here, and you need two real witnesses. Why? And here he says, Mikum. Mitoch sheneman lomar lo machisa bi, neman lomar lekucha yi biyadi apabisha machisa lo nizharti bishtari. He says as follows. It's true you made a mecha, and it's true that I don't have my shtar, which normally, when somebody makes a mecha, I should be able to produce a shtar. All that is true. However, when I tell you that this is my karka, you should believe me, because I could have lied and said that there was no mecha. Since I could have said that there was no mecha, believe me when I say there was a mecha, but nonetheless, I'm the real owner. In other words, there is a reyesa, but the migu beats out the reyesa. And then the Ramban says, I'll explain one second, Vim tishiveni naskad rababa, lest you ask me from a Gemara on Lamed Daled, the famous case of naskad rababa. The case of naskad rababa is a case where there's an eid echad, and the fellow doesn't have a migu because, he'll have to respond to the charge of eid echad, it'll have to be nijba. That isn't a free and clear taina. So the Ramban says, hachakarkahu, eid echad v'karkeinu klum. That's a case about a naska, a piece of silver. This is a case about a karka, real estate. Aval, im tanosan, bepeiros, ein lomar behem miguzet. Ve'alfa pikein, adas nota, she'ein mekaasam lecha. That's the Ramban. So if you look at the Rush in Siman Lamed Aleph, in the back of your Gemara, the Rush quotes this Ramban. Paragimel, I think it's Siman Lamed Aleph. It's on column 2. It's on page 369 in the back of it's my Shas Gemara, probably other Shas Gemaras too. What's that? Simid, yeah, they have it together, Lamed and Lamed Aleph. It's in the second column, going from the second line in the second column. The Yirat. Everybody have that? Chad kamar mecha b'pnei shnayim, haynu lafuki miman d'omar shlosha. When the Gemara says that mecha has to be in the presence of two, it means as opposed to, but excluding the position of three. What's the Rush already trying to tell us? We don't really need two. We just mean you don't need three. Right? Unlike the Rajba, again, who said that even the Mandamar 2 requires some level of Giluye Milsa, the Rush says, no, you don't. Avala Micha Befanov, Af Below Edim. Here you don't even have an Eid Echad. Let's say the Hodah took place, Beino Levein Chavero, in a closed room, just the two protagonists. Vehu Modeh, but he's an honest man, and he admits b'mecha, that there was a mecha. Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami, Lohava Chazaka. The Treile Saduse B'inan, Vareu Modeh. Because this is Eide Biror, not Eide Kiyum, right? And if everybody is honest, so then we know there was a mecha, and he should have kept his shtar, and there's a reyes if he doesn't. End of story. In other words, against Ramban, which he himself acknowledges. Dilo kemosha kasav haramban tafil micha bifnei dachad. Ramban goes even further. Ramban says, never mind, beino levenatzmo, the two of them, let's say there was also an eidachad in the room. Even that is not a mecha. Why? Lo av mecha. Mishum migu. That's the final reasoning of the Ramban. So the Rush says, "Velesa, that's wrong." To lo shayech lahazkir kan migu to hayelo lihizar bishtaro kivin diyada shezem micha. The Rush says, "I don't understand the Ramban." Ramban says that there's a migu, but there's a migu against a reyesa. Meaning, if we agree that he knew that he was being challenged, and that it's peculiar behavior for him not to be able to produce, to hold on to, and therefore produce a shtar when he's challenged. So we have a migu against a reisa. What does the Rosh mean by that? We have a rule that says, for example, migu keneged edim lo amrinan. It seems like we pretty much paskin that way. Here's a Gemara later on, which makes it seem, or earlier than where we are now, actually, we're jumping around a little bit. But if you go look here for 1 minute on Lamed Aleph Omid Aleph, the Gemara makes it seem like there's an argument between Abai and Rava. The Gemara says here, on the very top of Lamed Aleph Omid Aleph, Zeo Marshal Avosai. This again, this dispute between the two parties about the real estate. Each one claims to be the owner, right? Each one claims, oh, my father owned this land. Each one says that about his father, right? Hai aisi sadi da basehi. One of them is able to produce evidence that his father really owned it. No, he's a marakama. The hai aisi sadi da akhla shnei chazaka. The other one can't bring proof that his father owned it, but he can bring proof that he was there for 3 years, right? So the Gemara says, I'm a rabba, Malo l'shaker, ibayom alei minach zvinte, v'chaltia shnei chazaka. Rabba says, believe the guy who has the shnei chazaka, because he has a migu. What's the migu? Migu di bayomar. Right? Lakachti mimcha. It's true, it belonged to your father, it belonged to you, but I acquired it from him or from you. And he would be believed because he has 3 years of uninterrupted chazaka. Neman lomar, shalabosai have it, that it was my father's. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, mali l'shaker b'makom medim lo amrinan. You can't say, mali shaker is another word for migu. You can't say migu here, because the migu is against witness. The witnesses say that it belonged to his father, not to your father. We can't believe you that it belonged to your father when there are evidence adim against it just because of migu. Migu is a very powerful, right, proof, but not more powerful than, or not as powerful as adim. Migu keneged adim lo amrina. The Gemara in a bunch of places talks about migu b'makom edim, even when it isn't explicit edim like this, where it's a very strong what we call anan sahadi, right? The Gemara in Balbasra earlier discusses what about a migu b'makom chazaka. Let's say the migu clashes with a chazaka. That's a bayad loyitshita in the Gemara. The Gemara says there's a chazaka and a parea toksmano. People generally don't pay back loans before they're due. Right, they pay them back hopefully when they're due, but normally they would pay them back early. Let's say you have a migu to claim that you paid back the loan within the time of the obligation. That's a migu keneged chazaka. That's a safek, a bayad loyitshita in the Gemara. And if you look at the Rishonim there and elsewhere, they point out that there are other Gemaras that imply either that chazaka wins or that migu wins. How come it's a bayad loyitshita? In the Gemara, in the first parak, and Dafei Amud Aleph, what's different about that chazaka or that migu, etc. The point is, migu is a very important proof, but what happens when migu runs up against the opposition of some other factor? Okay, so migu keneged edim lo amrinan. So the Rosh basically is saying here, if the guy admits that there was a mecha, and he doesn't have his shtar, that's migu keneged areisa, keneged anan sadi. And therefore, I disagree with the Ramban. I think that the migu will not work here. And therefore, it's even the situation where there's no eid echad, even if it's based simply on hodas baldin kemedim dami, as long as the fellow admits that there was a mecha, he will lose the case if he doesn't have his shtar. Now, what then comes out is a very interesting argument between Ramban and the Rosh. Namely, whether or not you say migu keneged the reisa of his dar inish b'shtare b'makom b'cha. However, there's a huge problem with the shita of the Rosh. That problem is based on the Mishnah in Ksuvas, as it's understood by the Gemara in Ksuvas. The Mishnah in Ksuvas on Daf Tezvav Mudeis, beginning of the second parak. So the Mishnah there says, the Mishnah actually records a two or three different arguments between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. in a case where there's a dispute, a factual dispute, about the status of a woman who got married, whether she was a besula or not, right? He says, lo batzasi, lo besulin, and then the question is whether it should be sharastani nanasti, when didn't she have the besulin, and is it a mekachtos, and is there a gviya saksuva? This is a big debate there. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you listen to me, believe the woman. You believe the woman, she has a migu, she has bari v'shema, she knows what happened to her, bari v'shema, bari adif, she has a chazaka, that whatever happened to her later, because originally she was a besula. So Rabbi Gamliel says, we listen to the woman. And Rabbi Shua says, lo mipia nuchayim, we don't accept her word, she has to prove her claim, otherwise she will lose. So then the Mishnah says, however, moda Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yeshua will agree in the following case. Let's say there's a dispute about a piece of karka, and the machzik says to the marakama, listen, it's true that you used to own this karka, but I bought it from you. The only evidence that we have that the marakama is the marakama is from the machzik. Tesha asa tesha hitir. So the Mishnah says, Moda Rabbi Yeshua, even though Rabbi Yeshua said that the migu that we were talked about against Rabbi Gamliel, Misharastani, Nanasti, Mukase, the details are not important. That other migu didn't work at all. But even Rabbi Yeshua, who is apparently more, more reserved, more reticent about relying on migus, even he will agree that in a situation where the machzik says to the marakama, right, true, you are the owner, right, but you couldn't be established as a previous owner if not for me, and I'm also the one who's saying that I bought it from you, then that situation we believe him. Now the Gemara on Tezayin of an Aleph and Ksuvis says, we believe this machzik even without Gimel Shnei Chazaka. Let's say it's only 1 year that he's on, holding on to the karka. Because Peshas are Peshahita, we believe them. So there are Achronim who ask on the Rosh, isn't the Rosh against the Mishnah and the Gemara about Rabbi Yeshua? Because what's the rule? Why do you need Gimel Shanim? Because within Gimel Shanim is Dar Rinish Vishtar. He should have his Shtar, and if he doesn't have his Shtar, there's a Reyesa. Right, if he can't produce a shtar within the 3 years that he claims he bought the property, that is fishy, that's suspicious conduct, right? So you have a reyesa against the machzik, but you also have, going for the machzik, what do you have? Peshasa peshahitir. Right, so what do we see? That the peshasa peshahitir beats out the reyesa. It's not considered peshasa peshahitir keneged edim. Or if it is, it beats out the Anansadi in this case. So what does the Rosh want from the Ramban? Isn't that exactly what the Ramban is saying? The Ramban is saying, Migu di boyamar lo machisa, and therefore I will win the case. Nema lomar machisa aval lakachti, I bought the karka from you. What do we have? A reyesa of, you should be able to produce the shtar, versus a migu. What's the difference between the two cases? This is the question people ask against the Rosh in support of the Ramban. Yeah?
But don't we assume in the Rosh case that there is some other proof?
Only the Reyes.
That Rama has?
No. Yes, that's true, but there's a different... No, the cases are slightly different. The Migu or the... let me say it this way. The Pesha Asar in the Ksuvas case is based on the fact that he provides him with the status of being Marakam. In the case, in the Rush case, the migu is the fact that he is the basis of establishing that there was a mecha. But the principle of migu is that whatever it is that lets me win, lets me win. In one case, you're technically there are different cases. Maybe that's an opening to explain the difference.
The Kodosh Baldin of this mukzak, the Kodosh Baldin is something that's supposed to put you in a worse position. Here it's putting himself in a better position. That's not a Kodosh Baldin to say that there's a more accommodation.
Well, that, but that's true in both cases. Right? When I say...
In this case, by being Hodos Baldin that you once owned it? That's not Hodos Baldin. I mean, this is a subterfuge.
No. On the contrary, that's stronger. He wins there. He certainly wins there.
I know, but by saying...
But it's not a subterfuge because the other guy doesn't have any proof.
They're totally ignorant.
The other guy has no proof. He might claim, but he has no proof. There's a debate between Rashi and Tosfos in Mishnah whether he even makes a claim without the other party. So in both cases, what I'm saying is in both cases, we have a winning solution for the Matzik. In the Ksuvah's case, by being silent, he wins. By providing the information that the other fellow is the Marakama, right, he is undermining his case. But he's also claiming that he's the owner. In our case, again, if he denies the Mechah and there are no witnesses to establish it, he will win. Right? By admitting that there was a Mechah, he puts himself in jeopardy. But he's still claiming, I might be in jeopardy, but I'm still telling you the truth. It's my property. So what's the difference? So there could be two differences. Number one, you said correctly, and that's the language of the Mishnah, and that's the case. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Ksuvos is Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir. The Ramban is Amigo. This is part of a massive topic. Is there a difference between Migu and Pesha Asar? Or is Pesha Asar just a slightly more convincing Migu? As it happens, the Balei Tosfos in many places pretty much always treat Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir as a stronger Migu. Tosfos Bava Metzia, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, calls it Migu Dibai Shasik. It's not just a Migu that I have a claim. If I'm a liar, I have a better lie. In this case, if I'm a liar, I don't have to say a thing. I can be silent. Migu Dibai Shasik. That's an even stronger Migu, but it's not a qualitatively different Migu. It's just a stronger, it's even more Biur. The Balei Tosfos in general interchange between Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir, and Migu. You see it a lot in this parak, Chatzik Sabatim, but you see it everywhere that Migu comes up, in the first and second parak of Ksuvos, and in the beginning of Bava Metzia. Wherever you find Migu, a lot of times you'll find an interchangeability in Balei Tosfos between Pesha Asar and Migu. However, not everybody thinks that way, and certainly Misvara, it doesn't have to be that way. Right? Both in terms of the quality, in terms of the quantity of the biror, there's a difference between Migu Dibai Shasik and having a lie, a better lie, if you're a liar. That's number one. But it may be even more than that. It could be that Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir is not based on credibility. Because you did this, that proves you to be an honest man, because you said this, and therefore we believe you going forward. Rather, the idea behind Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir is that you don't have the right to divide his sentence into two. You either take as a whole, or you reject as a whole what he said. And he said, I like to call that not a Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir, but a Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir. Meaning, it's all one statement. When he says, you're the owner, but I bought the karka. You can't separate that into two separate sentences and say, he didn't have to be forthcoming about the first. Since he was, I believe him about the second. That's Migu. Migu is, I could have said A, therefore believe me about B. Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir, theoretically, might be a whole different idea. And that is, there's no A, there's no B. There's one sentence. And either you accept him as the source of that sentence, or you don't. If you accept him, then a Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir, basically the sentence says, I'm the owner. And if you don't accept his statement that he's the owner, then you shouldn't be accepting the idea that that fellow is a Marakama.
Then he's the owner.
What?
Then he's the owner.
And then he's the owner, or at least that if he's not the owner, the other guy's not a Marakama, so the other guy's not a legitimate challenger. That's the point. Okay. So if that's true, then the Rush might say, again, I don't know, we're speculating, Kornberg raises this question. The Rush might say, just because Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitir overcomes the Reyesa of Ach Vishtara, doesn't mean that Migu overcomes that Reyesa. That's one approach. A second approach is to distinguish between the Reyesas. In both cases, the reisa is, where's the shar? Achmishtar. However, the circumstances are slightly different. In the case, in the Mishnah in Ksuvos, the Achmishtari has to do with the fact that it's within the 3 years. Within the 3 year period, normally you should hold on to your shar. And if you don't, that is damaging. Which is more damaging? Not having a shtar in the initial 3 year period when you don't necessarily know that someone is challenging you? Or not holding on to your shtar after you've been challenged for at least another 3 years? Which would you say is more damaging?
The first three?
But you don't know that anybody's challenging you. Let's say you're an honest, naive person, and you know that you made a deal with him, right? Why should he be in your worst nightmare? This fella, you know him for years, you know, your children go to, you know, play school together, you know? He's going to turn on you after you gave him top dollar, and he's going to claim that he doesn't know who you are. Very good. Yeah. Now, you can argue the other way, too. It's theoretically possible, isn't it?
Right.
Right.
You're not expecting the two witnesses to come in and tell you there was a legitimate rechah. The whole theory is that somehow through a grapevine you will find out that it was rechah.
Yeah.
If you find out 300 people later that there wasn't a rechah, how do you know that he had two witnesses, or three witnesses, or any witnesses? You just heard there was a rechah. The minute you theoretically hear there's a rechah, you've got to hold on to the shtar, whether it's legit or illegit.
Right, that's a good question. But that's not the question, that's not the case that we're dealing with. The case that we're dealing with is, let's say it's Mechav the fun of.
Right.
Let's say the guy looks me in the eye, I'm taking you to court. But he only has either one witness or no witnesses. That's the case here. Your question's in place. I mean, according to the Rajva, according to the Ramban, does the Mechav Shaloba fun of also have to include the component that it started off with two people? Very possibly. I think it's a good point.
So the two witnesses have to show up and tell.
I don't know if they have to show up, but or we have to at least have heard that there are two witnesses that can show up.
Has to repeat that
a mechah took place in the presence of two.
Right.
Anyways, so possibly what the Rush will say is, it's one thing to say migu / pesha asar within the first 3 years. It's true there's Achmishtari, but that's not as damaging as the Achmishtari when I know the guy's telling everybody and his uncle that he's going to take me to court. If then I'm careless, that's really Migu Kenegadeh. Now it's interesting, this issue comes up in other places. Once on Daf Chavtes Amid Aleph, the Gemara has a discussion about a certain case called Shchuni Gavoy. Again, after we finish this little section, we'll be going back to Chavtes and Lamed. But I'll mention it now, just so you should be aware of it, and we'll discuss it when we get there. But the Gemara is okay. Just look at it for 1 second, actually. The Gemara says, Chavtes and Beis. The Gemara says, Ha'ud Amal El Chavrei. Chav Tesla base towards the bottom of the page. See the little aleph? Hahud Amalei Lechavrei, my boy is behind Beisa. A guy says, what are you doing in my home? Right? Amalei, so the guy responds and says, Minach Zavinte, I bought it from you. V'acholish, Nechazok, and I've been living more than 3 years. Amalei, so the guy says to him, Ana b'shchuni gavoy avoy. But what does that mean, Ana b'shchuni gavoy avoy? So there are at least five Perushim in the Rishonim that I'm aware of.
What?
Good question. I wouldn't know, but for sure you should check it out. So what does it mean? So the way the Rashbam interprets it, I've been living in part of this territory this whole time. I haven't abandoned it. That's how the Rashbam. And probably, so the Rif quotes in the name of Rabosav, or Yesh Omrim, that they interpret that the case is, the guy says, well, what do you mean, I've been here, you know, I haven't been away. That it's a case where the Machzik is the source for the Marakamas being established as a Marakama.
You mean but for the matzik?
But for the matzik, we wouldn't know that the ma'arer is really the marakama. But the marakama says, you know, I've been here the whole time. You've been living in the outside of the field. I've been living in the inside. Shkuni gavoy means the inside shkuna. So this is what the Rif quotes. The first day that the Rif quotes. So the Rif says, just look at it for 1 minute. You'll see, because it's connected to the Sora of Yeshua idea. And we'll pursue it more fully when we get to it, but just very, very quickly. Page Tezvav Amud Aleph in the Daf Erif. Hai Maisa de Shuni Gavoy. Everybody have it? It's in the middle of the page. No, I would say third of the way down. See the little Os Gimel? Kayim Shtarech Kum Nichsi? On Tezvav Amud Aleph in the Daf Erif. Hai Maisa de Shuni Gavoy. Chazina be Trei Perusha. You only saw two. Okay. I'm saying there are five. But anyways. Ikeman de Parish. Right, this one interpretation. Da'ima arer leis leisadi, da'ima aradilehu. He on his own has no evidence that he is the marakama. Di'is leisadi da'ima aradilehu. B'ha'om minaz vinta v'chalte shnei chazaka. Lo'avam rava v'ha'ikav na'batzim mikavel avaraya. Otherwise, Rava wouldn't have said that the machzik will win. He would have said the marakama wins. So, talking about the case of the marakama, doesn't have any evidence that he's the marakama. The evidence that he's marakama comes from the machzik himself. Now, Rava Gufa udamar v'kai gavid lokech by lasmi esadi dok shechazaka. Amar Rava kondas beitreiv amar anon agrina mine. Skip this. We'll get this when we get to it. Darina beit plus nani shnin yumelma v'bilayli. Vimkein echam a Rava motzim chavela varai. Ella hai maisa leka leukme. Ella kago dahai ma'arer leisle sahad de dia de dahayar delayu. He doesn't have any evidence that he was the owner. Ella hai lokeachu da amar delayu. It comes from the machzik. The hu amar, he also said, mine zvinte. The havale, hapesha asar hu hapesha itir. It's exactly like the Mishnah in Ksubas that he has a pesha asar pesha itir. That's why Rava says that he wins. But now the question is, Rav Nachman said that the Marakama wins, so what's he going to do? So the Rav says, Rav Nachman Savar, Apagav Dalesai Lahai Sadi Dar Dileyava, Kikamodes, Hilo Kiak, Dileyava, Umar, Dizavna Mine, Bakal Shnechazaka, Boyla, see, it's Sadi, Dakal Shnechazaka, even though he, Pesha Asar, is the source for the other guy's Muxakos, Marakama. He still has to bring proof on his Gimel Shnei Chazaka. The Kapasa Kilkasa Bahai Maisa Kemaisa Tebeisisin Kirava. The Ikaman Damar Dahai Maisa Lekele Ukama Bekai Gavna. But the other Mepharshim say you can't. This interpretation is unsustainable. The Echad Lekele Sahadi Dahai Ara Leba Ara Habe Kulamalo Pligido Tzarech Lokeach Lisu Yeraya. If he has a Pesha Asar, then he should always win. Even if he said I didn't have Gimel Chazaka at all, that's the Gemara in Ksuvas. Lo mafkina mene koshkein ki amar achal tiyah shnei chazaka in our case, where he said I was there 3 years, unencumbered. Kidam rinan, gabi haditnan, according to Mishnah in Ksuvas, moda rabbi Yeshua, ba'am lechaber, sada zu shalavicha, isa, yu lekachtia mimenu, ne'aman, shepesha asar hua, pesha hitir. And the Gemara says, amrina ma'lo, belisni, and then the Gemara goes on to explain that we're talking about a case even when there's no Gimel Shnei Chazaka. So the Rish says, I just don't understand what's going on with this Yesh Mepharshim. For Rav Nachman, it's against an explicit Mishnah, and we never found anybody who disagreed with Rabbi Yeshua. It's even Rabbi Yeshua who agrees. Everybody agrees. So I thought that there's a difference between these two cases as well. And that is that another difference. Now, here you can't give the answer to the distinction between Peshas and Pesha Hittir and the first 3 years of his Darinish as opposed to after Bechad. Those answers that we gave for the Rosh don't apply here. But there's another difference here. The Rif assumes that there's a Kol Shekein. He says, the guy has 3 years, even if he's being challenged. But the other one says, Shuni Gavoy Havoy, I'm there too. But that's better than if he doesn't have 3 years. Maybe that's not true. Maybe if the guy has been exclusively in the karka for 1 week, maybe that's better than being there 3 years when the other fellow is there with him. Exclusive chazaka within 3 years may be superior to joint chazaka for more than 3 years. And then the idea would be that even Pesha, and the reason it's important for what we've been analyzing is, even Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir cannot work Lahotzi, Lagamri. But as long as he's there for some time, if you model after Tfilas Metaltolin, for example, so right away there's a kind of Muzakos. You have to wait 3 years for other reasons, or to complete it. But maybe there's a Tfisa, and that Tfisa is better than a disputed 3 years. The issue comes up again on Lamed of a base, which we're not going to look at now. Another issue of 6 years, 7 years, which we'll get back to. Okay.
Is there a way so that the Marikama left the Muzak stay there?
Can
we have that issue before?
Yes, you have to explain that. He can claim, you know, with Leperos or something of that, so we'd have to explain. And when we get to Shmuni Gavai, we'll discuss that more.
Is it always the Muzak? Who's the
Chavero?
What we're discussing.
What's that? Motzi
Mechavero?
So that's what we're trying to figure out.
So who's the Chavero?
Right. That's the question. That's the argument between Rav Nachman and Rava in the Gemara, in the Shmuni Gavai. And we'll get to it. We'll get back to it. But that seems to be the argument between Rava and, in this case, for example, let's take the Rashbam and these Gonim. He's been there for 3 years and he claims I have a Chazaka. The other guy says, I've been there with you. Who has to prove it? The Masik or the Marikama? That's exactly the question. Okay. Let's continue in the Gemara for a minute. We have another few minutes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Well, number one, there's a debate in the Rishonim whether we hold Migul Lahotzi or not. The Ramban happens in general to believe that Migul Lahotzi Amrinan. That could be the Shita. I thought that as well. Correct. And the Bali Tosis, including the Rush, are generally the opinion that Migul Lahotzi Lo Amrina, beginning of Babitziyan and other places. I definitely think that's a possibility. Again, you have to weigh that with the Tsugin Ksubas, because that is also Lahotzi, unless you think that any kind of Tsvisa Kolduhu makes him a Maksa, because the Gemara there says you don't need Gimel Shan. So you have to others say, oh yeah, but there it's Tashasa. Here it's only Migul. So that could be another point of argument. Absolutely. Okay. Let's continue with the Gemara just for a couple of minutes. Get in another. We're almost at the end of this section of Lamed Ches Tumem, and we'll say not next week. 3 weeks from now, we continue. I'm sorry for the big break, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then the Gemara says that Gidol Bar Minyumi Lamed Ches Tumem Beis. Gil bar Minyumi Havale Mechiyasa, see the little aleph in parentheses, Lemechve Lemchuye. He had to register a challenge. Somebody was sitting in his karka. Ashkefin Ravuna Lechia bar Rav Lerav Chilke bar Tuve. He found these three people. The Mfarshim all jump in and say, "Don't get too excited. They happened to be sitting there, and there were three of them. But we really paskin. You only need two." Davi Yatsvi, they were sitting. Umacha Kamayoni was Mocha in their presence. Lishana, a year later, Hadar Asa Limkuye, Gidol Bar Minyumi came back to register a complaint again. Umulayna said to him, Lo Trichas Haki. Lo Trichas, I'm sorry. Akamarab, Rav said, Kivu Shemicha Shana Rishona Shuvena Tarich Limkos. You don't have to come back every year. Right? Once you're Mocha, that's good enough. Now, it's not clear whether this line in the Gemara, they think that one mecha is good forever, or every 3 years. That's the Machlokas Rishon. V'ikadamri, Amar Lechia Bara, Kivin Shemicha Shana Rishona, Shuv Ein Tzarech Limchos. Right, you don't have to repeat after the first year. Amar Yishlokas, Mishim Bakapara, V'tzarech Limchos, V'sof Kol Gimel, V'gimel, every 3 years. Tei Barab Yochanan, V'chigazon Yesh L'chazaka. You know, why do you have to repeat it every 3 years? Once you established him as a Gazlan, he can never have a Chazak anyway. So the Gemara says, Gazlan, so kadaitach. You think just because you accuse him of a Gazlan, being Gazlan, it makes him a Gazlan. Ela ki Gazlan, yesha Chazaka. And then the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, Hilchasat Tzarech Limchos, B'Sof Kol Gimel V'Gimel, you have to be Moke every 3 years. And finally, the Gemara says, Tani Bak Kapara, Irer Chazav Irer, Chazav Irer, let's say he keeps repeating his mecha liquids in every 3 years. In machmas taina rishona ir in the chazaka, if it's consistent the way he's ma'arer, then he continuously staves off the chazaka. The imlav, if it's inconsistent, if he changes his story every 3 years, yeshlo chazaka. Okay. So we start to discuss these two halachos. Number one, three halachos. Number one, what did Gidel Bar Menuhmi have in mind? What did he think? That you have to be mocha every single year? Right? Frankly, why not every single day? You know. All right, that's an interesting question. Are the units of 3 and 3 years important? Like, oh, Hayusha thought they were, the Gemara later on, the Mishnah later on in Nunvav Medeis speaks about the problem of what the Gemara calls the problem of Davar Lo Chatzi Davar. Talks about 3 years. It's possible that the number 3 is important and the years are important. Anyways, that aside for the moment, what did Gidel Bar Menuhmi have in mind? Number 2, what about every 3 years as opposed to once ever? That we touched on already, but I just want to add a little discussion to that. And number 3, this final point, what happens if there's an inconsistency in the content of the era? There's a big Machlokas Rishonim, the Rashbam is of the opinion that if there's a discrepancy, even within the 3 years, you know, you only need one Macha for every 3 years. But let's say the guy came back and he was Mocha the second year, and his story was different than the first year. Right? Does that, we didn't need his Macha. Can the superfluous Macha be a stira to the original Macha? The Rashbam thinks yes, the Rush thinks no. On the other hand, what's clearer is, let's say he was mocha the first 3 years, and then he came back within the next 3 years, and he was mocha again, and he told a different story. So the Rosh says, but at least then, I'll agree with the Rashbam, that even if it's one discrepancy, right, he loses his koach error. The Ramah and the Rimigash say that's wrong too. They say there has to be at least two changes, so it's three stories, right, to be Huxak Kafron, kind of Muxakus, that is Muxak Keshakron. So basically there are three shitas when it comes to changing your story. Rashbam says even if you change within the 3 years, the Rosh says any change from one period to another, mimanushach, renders one of them no good, and there's a chazaka, either mikano labar lemafreya, and the Ramah and the Rimigash say that you need two changes or three tainas in order to be disqualified. So I want to discuss those three things. In the 1 minute that I have, let me just discuss Gidel Bar Menuhmi. This has to last for 3 weeks. But it won't take 3 weeks. So the Rashbam explains Gidel Bar Menuhmi in an interesting way. He says, what does Gidel Bar Menuhmi? L'shana ba, l'shana cheres asa, pam shniya bicha kamayu, svirale de kol shana v'shana tzarech limkos. Then Micha Pam Rishona Ushniya Bala Micha Vishnana Shlishis Igloi Milsa to Shalokadin Micha Rishona Ushniya Ulusov Shana Shlishis Zui Chazaka Balotzarchli Zar Bishtaro. So according to the Rashbam, the idea of coming every year is not that every year needs a Macha. It's that if he doesn't come back, the other guy might think Limafreya that he never meant it to begin with. If he doesn't follow up, he's not serious. That's the Rashbam. However, with this I want to conclude, the Rimigash has a different idea. The Rimigash explains, not in so many words, but this is what he seems to be getting at, that the idea of Gidel Bar Menuhmi was as follows. It's not enough to be mocha the first year of the Chazaka. Gidel Bar Menuhmi didn't think, the way I understand the Rimigash, I think it's the proper way, Gidel Bar Menuhmi didn't think you have to come every year and be mocha. What he felt was, if you're mocha the first year, then you better be mocha at least the second year. Because of the 3 years of the chazaka, the first is batel, agav, the last two. It's the minority of the chazaka. The mecha has to relate to the lion's share of the chazaka. That's the idea of Gidl Bar Minyumi. So for example, if the guy came in the third year and he was mocha once, that's fine. But being mocha once the first year requires Gidl Bar Minyumi thought to come back for the second year. Now why is that important? As we've been discussing, what is the nature of mecha and how does it relate to chazaka? So one perspective has been the mecha establishes that there is no chazaka because it's about shtika smara kama and he's not shosek, or it creates a reis of his darnish bishtare, or the language of the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what they mean it, but the language is you need that the mecha be mevatel the chazaka. It's like there's a clash between these two institutions. There's chazaka, which is going to win for the machzik, and then you have to try to destroy it. It's a formidable force that needs to be neutralized. That's the mecha. So the idea of Gidl Bar Minyumi, according to the Rimigash, was a mecha in the very beginning of the chazaka, when the chazaka isn't sufficiently entrenched, is insufficient to neutralize it. On the other hand, with this I conclude, this, we don't pass them like Gidl Bar Minyumi, that's clear from the Gemara. But as we also noted, there's a debate, do you need every 3 years or every year? So there's a line of Rav Haigon, which the people who wrote Perushim and Rav Haigon did not pick up on at all, I have to say. But I think this is what he says, and it's amazing if it's true. Rav Haigon seemed to say the following. If you're mocha, the opposite of what we just said for Gidl Bar Minyumi. If you're mocha during the first year of a chazaka, then you don't have to be mocha ever again. If you're mocha only from the second year and on, then you have to be mocha every 3 years. Why? It sounds like, and the language sounds like, you have to. If you can nip this chazaka in the bud, if you can destroy it before it gets off the ground and establishes a, you know, more serious mukzakos, right, then you can't build anything on that foundation. So a mecha, Shana Rishona, is actually the strongest mecha. It wipes out the foundation for a chazaka. After that, it's a clash. If you want to keep up with this chazaka, you better keep up with your irur and mecha. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll finish these other things next time. And